All right, good morning, everybody. The Arizona Board of Behavioral Health Examiners will now come to order. It is 9:04 a.m. on March 10th, 2023. Could we have a roll call, please?
Kimberly Bain.
Present.
Robert Charles. Mary Kuna.
Present.
Cedric Davis. Patricia Dobatz.
Here.
Lynette Hennigan. Pauline Knapp.
Present.
Megan Creamer.
Present.
Adeline Samik.
Present.
Diane Palacios.
Hello, good morning.
Mark Shen. Antoine Trotter.
Present.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody. My name is Patricia Dobratz. I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist and the board's chairperson. I ask that everybody please make sure that their phones are on silent. And just to note, there are restrooms and vending machines, alcohol, near the elevators for your convenience during the meeting. And just to remind everybody, this is being recorded and will be posted on the board's website. So anybody speaking, please make sure that you're speaking into the mic and speak clearly. At this time, I would like to ask board members and board staff to introduce themselves, starting with Ms. Knapp.
Pauline Knapp, professional member.
Antoine Trotter, public member.
Diane Palacios, professional member.
Kimberly Bailey, professional member.
Mary Coonrod, public member.
Megan Creamer, public member.
Adeline Samik, professional member.
Erin Yabu, deputy director.
Eric Cliver, investigation manager.
Tony Zavala, executive director.
Mona Baskin, assistant attorney general, representing the board. Good morning.
Thank you, everybody. We're first going to go to agenda item number 3, which are our minutes for review and consideration. We will need to table 3A, our teleconference minutes from February 8th. We'll bring us to 3B, which are our general meeting minutes from February 17th. Dr. Bailey needs to recuse, but otherwise, is there a motion to approve the minutes?
So moved, Trotter.
Is there a second? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. And that will bring us to agenda item number 4, which is our consent agenda. So the items on the consent agenda appear with a recommendation from board staff. So board members have reviewed all the materials for those cases. We are ready to vote on those cases as they approve or as they appear on the agenda. But I'm going to call those cases as we go to see if there's anybody here who wishes to pull those matters. When I say pull those matters, what I mean is that you disagree with the recommendation that appears with it and that you wish to address the board. Okay? So first we're going to go to 4A, which is our case recommended for dismissal. Stephanie Balastrassi, is there anybody here who wishes to pull that matter? All right. Is there a motion to dismiss?
Bailey, so moved.
Palacio, second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. 4B are cases recommended for dismissal with a letter of concern. Is there anybody here who wishes to pull B1, Kendra Bitter? B2, Susan Duncan? Can you stand up? Are you the complainant in the matter? Yeah, the complainant? Okay. It appears for a letter to dismiss with a letter of concern. So do you want to come forward and address the board? Ms. Vaughn, do you want to speak to that?
We want to come and address the board, but a letter of concern is basically a non-disciplinary action that the board would take in regards to the conduct of the licensee. Madam Chair, I think it would be best if he came forward to...
Okay. If you would like to come forward, is Ms. Duncan here? Okay, counsel. If you'd come forward, sir. So for the record, this is 4B2, Ms. Duncan, and the complainant is here for the matter. Give me 1 second. Thank you. All right. And for privacy purposes, we'll refer to you by your initials, RM, is that correct? And if you want to turn on your microphone. just press the button and give it 1 second, and it'll turn green. Perfect. All right, so what we'll do is we'll hear a brief summary from board staff, give you a chance to ask your questions if board staff can offer further clarity, and then I will give Mr. Carey and his client an opportunity to address the board if they'd like to as well.
Yes, Madam Chair, members of the board, this matter was put on the consent agreement because after a full investigation of the matter, it did not appear that the information was clear and convincing. So based on that, board staff recommended dismissing the case with a letter of concern. The letter of concern would state that it's a professional responsibility to ensure all clinical documentation contains all board requirements, and that would be considered a public record. And that's all I have, unless you have any questions for me.
Do board members have any questions for Ms. Law? So at the point, you would have a chance to address the board if there's anything that you haven't provided. Again, we've read all the materials in the case. Or if you did have a further question, if we can't offer clarity, we can do so.
Okay. I appreciate that. So I'm assuming that the code of ethics is important to a licensed professional counselor. Is that correct?
Okay, so again, you have up to 5 minutes to address the board. If you want to present information other than what's in here, then you can do that. But we can't engage in a dialogue.
And Madam Chair, before the complaint goes on, I apologize. I missed the second factor of the letter of concern. It was on the second page. My apologies. It says it also is a professional responsibility to remain culturally sensitive throughout the therapeutic process. That would be the letter of concern for the documentation and for the cultural sensitivity.
That's all
I have.
Thank you, Ms. Bella. So again, if you would like to address the board, you have up to 5 minutes to do so.
Very good. Thank you. Sticks and stones may break our bones, but words can never hurt us. If this adage were fact, we wouldn't need counselors. A counselor is to a client as a doctor is to a patient. The former assists in healing the soul, while the latter attempts to heal the body. It is inconceivable and, in fact, egregious to believe that either would willingly attempt to harm the person under their care, and yet this is precisely what occurred last August. The counselor claimed to have empathy so superior she could empathize with a serial killer. She asserted this while simultaneously imposing her values, scolding my beliefs, humiliating my life experiences, condescending my intelligence, patronizing my patients, and maligning my very existence. In fact, she accused me of being a shitty child seeking her forgiveness, as if she knew anything about me and about my 30 minutes of superficial interview, or was in a divine position to bestow such a generous gift in the first place. I left her office weak in confidence, but strong in conviction. I had just been invalidated as a human being. She asserted that the best counselors were liberals, and she implied that all liberals had superior empathy. Since I felt worse exiting her office than I did upon entering, she did not help me. And since she represented the best of the counselors, therefore logically no counselors could help me. I reflected that had I only been a serial killer, I might have been afforded that superior level of empathy that she allegedly espoused. Fortunately, I am not a serial killer. I was not worthy to receive her superior empathy. I stand before you today not to argue my case, but to express faith in the board's ruling. As you implicitly understand that every action has natural consequences, the board assumes the responsibility, risk, and liability for the consequences of their decision, thereby allowing me to relinquish my investment in the situation with a clear conscience. I fulfilled my objective. I raised awareness of abuse and concrete multiple violations of the counselor's code of ethics, a set of rules that all counselors, counselor professionals allegedly honor and abide. Your decision will ultimately determine to what degree. Where the counselor failed to show empathy to one unworthy human being, I trust the board will not make that mistake on a grander scale. You will analyze the situation from multiple perspectives and select the most optimal win-win scenario for all key stakeholders. The client, counselor, community, and profession. I know you will show compassion and understanding for all of us. I submit to you that the adage sticks and stones may break our bones, but words will never hurt us was never meant to be a fact. It is a choice, a decree that one shall rise above injuries of a non-physical nature. Therefore, I am not a victim, because I choose not to be one. The counselor's words did not injure me. Though I shall never forget this humiliating lesson, I will forgive the offending teacher. Thank you.
Thank you. Let me see if board members have any questions for you. Are there questions from board members? Any questions? I would ask you to take your seat so the licensee and her counsel could come forward, please.
Appreciate that.
Thank you. Introduce yourselves for the record, please.
Chair Dobratz, members of the board, Flynn Carey, counsel for licensee.
Susan Duncan. Thank you. You have up to 5 minutes to address the board if you'd like.
Chair Dobratz, members of the board, there's an adage that we have in law, which is lawyers are not us. You don't have to take all comers. You get to select who your clients are. And the reality is that there are instances where a rapport does not get formed. This was a 30-minute consultation that did not turn into a mature treatment relationship. It happens. It happens in every industry. I have certainly declined or fired more clients than I can count. I know that therapists often have the same situation. The reality is that therapists have a lot of different approaches. And if there was not a connection, the parties moved on. Clint's clearly very intelligent and articulate and has some very entrenched beliefs. And while there's nothing wrong with that, when a rapport doesn't form, the ethical thing to do is not continue with that relationship. And that's what occurred here. There's no evidence that licensee navigated the situation unethically or inappropriately. And that's why board staff concluded that there was not clear and convincing evidence of a violation. There were two suggestions made by the board. And as you know, because it was not, they didn't elevate the documentation to a violation level, that means that the documentation was not egregious. Nevertheless, we did revise her forms using previously approved board forms, and she did take a number of CEUs, which Ms. Rossi had uploaded for the board's consideration. So we would ask that the board agree with staff's analysis and resolve the matter in the manner proposed by the staff. Thank you.
Thank you. Do board members have any questions for counselor or licensee? All right, this is our time to talk amongst ourselves, so we ask that you not interrupt. Ms. Watson, I believe you're leading this one. I'm my own writing.
Yes. So I have read all the information a couple of times, and I agree with the board that there is no convincing evidence to support the violation. And I support the dismissal with letter of concern. Anybody has any other comments?
Okay. Is there a motion?
I move to approve the dismissal with letter of concern.
Bailey, second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. And thank you to the complainant for being here as well. That will bring us back to agenda item number 4B1, Ms. Bitter, and I need to recuse, so Dr. Bailey will be leading this vote.
And again, there isn't anyone who wishes to pull this case. Okay. Do I have a motion to approve the recommended dismissal with a letter of concern for Kendra Bitter?
So that's your second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Motion carries.
That will bring us to 4D1, which is our case recommended for acceptance of the proposed signed non-disciplinary consent agreement. My understanding is the complainant and the licensee are both going to be on the phone.
Welcome
your participant ID followed by pound. Otherwise, just press pound to continue. You are in the meeting now. There are 3 participants in the meeting. You have been added to the meeting room. You cannot talk or look.
Can you talk now?
Good morning. Is Ms. Colburn on the phone?
Yes.
And Ms. Lindsay?
Yes.
All right. Good morning. My name is Patricia Dobras. I'm the Board of Behavioral Health Examiner's chairperson. And just for your reference, this is an open meeting, so I am sitting here with board members and board staff, as well as members of the public. And we just called the case involving Ms. Colburn, and the matter is on our consent agenda, which means that the matter appears with a recommendation from board staff. That recommendation in this case is to accept a proposed signed non-disciplinary consent agreement. Board members have read all of the materials in this case and were prepared to vote as it appears for that non-disciplinary consent agreement. But my understanding is, Ms. Lindsay, as the complainant, you were pulling the matter and wish to address the board. Is that correct?
I was doing what again?
That you wanted to pull the matter and address the board.
What do you mean I pulled the matter?
So what that means is that you disagree with the recommendation of the proposed signed non-disciplinary consent agreement. Would you want to make a statement to the board?
I don't recall pulling in the consent agreement, but I would like to make a statement to the board.
Okay, so the way that we'll proceed is that board staff will have up to 5 minutes to present to the board, and then I will give you 5 minutes to address the board, and then the licensee, Ms. Colburn, if she wishes to address the board, she'll have that opportunity as well. So I'd ask in the meantime if you guys would mute your devices if you're not speaking. And board staff, could we have a brief summary?
Madam Chair, members of the board, following a review of the investigative record, it is not apparent whether there is clear and convincing evidence to support the following violation. ARS 32-3251-16M, failing to comply with or violating, attempting to violate, or assisting in or abetting the violation of any provision of this chapter. Factors for the board to consider: licensee is the holder of license number LPC 17895 for the practice of counseling in the state of Arizona. Licensee owns and operates her own private practice, which is not licensed by DHS. From 7-20-21 to 3-15-22, complainant held a temporary license with the board. From 9-18-20 to 5-15-21, complainant was an intern at private practice with a valid contract between the university and private practice. From 5-15-21 to 7-20-21, complainant continued providing behavioral health services at private practice under licensee's direct supervision without a license to do so. After the expiration of complainant's temporary license on 3-15-22, complainant could not lawfully provide behavioral health services. A 6-16-22 independent contract signed by licensee and complainant included the following. 5-30-22 to 5-30-23 is the term of the agreement. Complainant agrees to provide counseling services at private practice. On 8-22-22, licensee terminated complainant's contract with private practice. From 3-15-22 to 8-22-22, complainant was being supervised by licensee and unlawfully provided behavioral health services without an active license or meeting any of the board's exemptions for licensure. Licensee, in fact, allowed complainant to practice unlawfully without a license for at least 2 months in 2021 and 5 months in 2022. And that is all I have. I'll show you any questions.
Do board members have any questions for Mr. Carver? Ms. Lindsay, this will be your opportunity to address the board. You have up to 5 minutes if you'd like to do so.
I'm currently a result, and the important thing that I want the board to know is that this is all I've ever wanted to do, is be a therapist. And the only reason why I felt so compelled to file a complaint was not to enact any retribution towards Ms. Colburn at all, but only to protect myself due to the nature of the environment that I was working in. I just want to be able to submit my application and become the person and the person that I've been working so hard to be. And that's all I can say.
Thank you, Ms. Lindsay. Let me see if board members have any questions for you. Do board members have any questions for the complainant? Ms. Colburn, this would be your opportunity to address the board if you wish to do so. You have up to 5 minutes.
I don't really have much other than when the investigation happened, I didn't realize I had to be under OBHR approved in order for her to practice under my license. So that was a lesson learned for me, and that won't happen again.
Thank you, Ms. Colburn. Do board members have any questions? All right. This will be our time to talk amongst ourselves, so you're free to stay on the line and listen, but we ask that you not interrupt. Dr. Hennigan's matter, so I will lead the discussion. Not to discount the complainant's concerns, but again, weighing our clear and convincing standard and the egregiousness of kind of that spectrum that we've talked about before. I am in agreement with the non-disciplinary consent agreement. I do think this highlights, just for the record and for the public and those listening to the meeting in the future too, the importance of understanding different practice settings and what's required in each, both as a supervisor and a supervisee. If you are practicing behavioral health, it is on you to understand where and when you can practice. So I just want to note that for the record.
Agree.
But in regards to the complaint and the findings, I would agree with the non-disciplinary consent agreement unless anybody feels different. Is there a motion to accept the proposed non-disciplinary consent agreement?
Bailey, so moved.
Is there a second?
Yeah, second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you, Ms. Lindsay. Thank you, Ms. Colburn, for being available. And best of luck to both of you. This will conclude this matter.
Thank you.
We'll go to agenda item number E, our case recommended for opening a complaint and accepting a proposed by non-disciplinary consent agreement. Ms. Kramer, is Ms. Kramer present? Is there a motion to open the complaint and accept the proposed signed non-disciplinary consent agreement?
Yeah. Second, Trotter.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. That will bring us to G, our case recommended for opening a complaint accepting the proposed signed disciplinary consent agreement. Is there anybody here for Tanya Byers? Tanya Byers matter? Right. Is there a motion to open the complaint and accept the proposed signed disciplinary consent agreement? Gracias, move. Roll call, please.
Kimberly Bailey.
Aye.
Mary Coonrod.
Aye.
Patricia Dobrats.
Aye.
Colleen Knapp.
Aye.
Megan Kramer.
Aye.
Adeline Sameek.
Aye.
Diane Palacios.
Aye.
Antoine Trotter.
Aye.
Thank you. And that will bring us to 4H, which is our case recommended for opening a complaint and denying for unprofessional conduct. Is Arturo Morales present? Do you wish to address the board? Okay, if you would come forward, please. All right, Mr. Morales, we're first going to hear from board staff, and then you'll have up to 5 minutes to address the board at that time as the applicant.
Madam Chair, this is was on the consent agreement, a consent agenda based on a conversation we had last month amongst the board members in regards to board staff making a recommendation for denial for unprofessional conduct of the license. With that being said, Mr. Morales had the opportunity to pull that matter to be heard before the board, and that is why we're here today. And I'm going to ask that Mr. Carver go ahead and read the analysis for you.
Thank you so much. Mr. Carver?
Madam Chair, members of the board, an applicant for licensure must meet the requirements of ARS 32-3275, which includes the following. A6, not have committed any act or engaged in any conduct that would constitute grounds for disciplinary action against the licensee pursuant to this chapter. Following review of the investigative record, there appears to be clear and convincing evidence to support the following violation. ARS 32-3251-16L, engaging in any conduct, practice, or condition that impairs the ability of the licensee to safely and competently practice in the licensee's profession. This recommendation is based on the following. On 11-14-22, the board received the applicant's LAC application where he answered affirmative to multiple background questions. Applicant answered yes to 2 questions regarding previous disciplinary action against a license or certificate, in answering their license or certificate. Applicant represented in his LEC application that he surrendered his CLA license for 5 years due to accusations of inappropriate behavior concerning a relationship with a patient. Applicant also disclosed 3 previous terminations from behavioral health entities. He executed consent for entry for voluntary surrender with the Arizona Board of Nursing included the following in part. The findings of facts included from 1297 to 2001, applicant was employed as a certified nursing assistant at a hospital. On or about 1/14/01, patient presented to the ER with a drug overdose and patient's husband reported to management that applicant had a personal and sexual relationship with patient while she was in the psychiatric unit in or around May 2000 or June of 2000. On 1/15/01, applicant was suspended pending an investigation, and on 1/16/01, applicant met with management and admitted to giving patient his personal pager number. Applicant also admitted he washed patient alone in the shower 1 to 5 times because she was in a vegetative state. On or about 1/17/01, management interviewed the unit's charge nurse who reported they never told applicant to bathe patient alone. On or about 1/19/01, patient reported during her May 2000 admission at hospital, applicant entered the shower room the first day and told the patient she had a lovely body. Patient reported the same day applicant kissed her and the second day applicant kissed her and exchanged I love yous. Patient reported the third day applicant asked to see patient's breast and the fourth day they planned to meet in the shower room and the fifth day they had sexual intercourse in the shower room. On or about 1/29/01, applicant was terminated from hospital. The conclusions of law indicate that applicant was found in violation of various nursing board statutes. And the order was that this was a voluntary surrender of applicant certified nursing assistant certificate, and the order would be filed with the board and made public. And it's ordered that applicant may apply for reinstatement of said certificate after a period of 5 years. On 3/14/01, applicant signed a voluntary surrender, and this was executed the same day. Applicant represented the following during an investigative interview. He admitted to having sexual intercourse with the patient, but denied that it was something that occurred more than once. Applicant did not read the nursing board surrender document since he knew he had done something wrong. Applicant represents he was told he did not need legal representation regarding the surrender of his license. Applicant knew what he did was wrong and never attempted to consult with anyone professionally. Applicant engaged in counseling services with his pastor for roughly 5 years, which was prompted by the surrender of his CNA license. Applicant has since read the consent agreement for the surrender of his CNA license thoroughly and understands he waived his right to counsel and admitted to all the allegations in the document. It's highly concerning that applicant signed a document surrendering his CNA license without thoroughly reading it. Furthermore, the document applicant signed indicated he knew he had a right to legal counsel and was waiving that right. Even more concerning is the nursing board documents indicate patient was a psychiatric patient increasing their vulnerability. Applicant inappropriately engaged in sexual conduct with patient while she was an active patient at hospital, violating numerous nursing board rules and statutes. And that is all I have. Unless you have any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Carver. Do you board members have any questions? As the applicant, Mr. Morales, you have up to 5 minutes to address the board.
I really don't know how to word what it is that I'm trying to say. I had everything written out, but really doesn't make much of a difference with these words that I've got here. I'm trying to move forward. So, I mean, I know that was egregious, but I was also in a different field, different mindset. And so I've been trying to take corrective actions ever since that period, and I've gone back to school, educated myself, and I'm trying to move forward with that education and trying to help others instead of taking advantage of my position. I'm trying to make up for the fact that I was in that kind of a position before, so I don't really know how to put it eloquently to everybody other than I'm trying to better myself and be a better person and be a better therapist, which is what I do now, and I try to help people, and I really appreciate it, at least the chance to try and test for the LAC and be able to move forward. So, I mean, that's really all I can say. I really can't. Everything else speaks for itself. It happened, and it was something I should never have done, but it did happen. So it was also something that I've been trying to grow through for 22 years now. So all I'm trying to do is get a chance.
Thank you. Do board members have any questions for the applicant?
I have a question. You said that you're doing things to make yourself better. What are those things, or what would that rehabilitation look like?
When I was undergoing the counseling that I was told I needed to go to, because when I was in this position as a CNA, I was planning on going further with my RN. I wanted to get my nursing license, which the board also said I would be able to do within 5 years if that's what I chose, that I'd be able to apply for the RN licensure. After undergoing the therapy with the pastors that I had at the church that I attended at the time, I chose to go a different direction. I wanted to then start seeking out counseling and start growing in that direction. So I started working as a BHT and started going back to school for that. I first wanted to do human services because I felt that was a little broader, but they didn't have they only had the undergraduate for that. So that's where I started, and then I went to professional counseling over at the Grand Canyon University. So I've been trying to just take those steps and learn more. And now where I work, it's a very good environment. I work in IOP and I'm helping people, and they want me to be able to apply for my licensure. So I'm trying to do that so that I can continue to grow and continue to be an effective part of the team there. It's a very positive environment, and we help a lot of people. So these are the things that I've been doing. Everything's been geared towards a different direction. I've been trying to improve myself as a counselor, trying to learn everything I can, absorb all the information that I can.
In your counseling, did they discuss any power dynamics or?
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you.
Oh, sorry, I apologize. So when you were in your own counseling, were power dynamics addressed or vulnerability of the victim or anything?
Yes.
Nature?
Yeah. Sorry, it's just it's very personal, so I'm just, it's very hard for me. But yes, a lot of those things were addressed, and I recognize what the seriousness of it. I'm not trying to be dismissive of anything. I'm just speaking of only myself. I don't want to try to speak about anything that happened to that other person.
Right.
I understand that that's something that's probably beyond, I don't want to, it sounds like it's not as important, because that's much more important than what happened to me, but I'm trying to just grow and learn for myself. So that's why I'm speaking from my own point of view. I don't I don't want it to sound like I'm trying to be dismissive of what happened. I understand the seriousness. I just don't want to speak to that because I'm not the person that went through it. I'm sure that they do a lot of things and probably have a lot of ill feelings, and I would say they're probably, they have the right to do that. I just don't know. I don't know what else there is to. I don't know how to speak to it eloquently enough to be able to do other than what happened was, should have never happened. Unfortunately, it did. So. I don't want to.
Thank you for your response.
Sorry.
Are there any other questions?
I have one question. Mr. Morales, is your current position aware of the potential hurdle that you have before you in getting?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
I've discussed that with them since our meeting with the gentleman there.
Okay. That's it. Thank you.
Any questions from board members? All right, this will be our time to talk amongst ourselves, so we ask that you not interrupt.
this time this class. It was really good.
Yeah, thank you. So, I know in Arizona, I believe.
Interrupt, you want a second?
Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you. And I apologize for interrupting, but I just want for clarification, as of 2/16/23, according to Mr. Morales, his employment did not, was not aware of it.
Yeah, after I had the discussion, I
just wanted to share during the interview that at that time we had not known. So you didn't alert them until after you had talked to Mr. Carver and last month? Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Zavala.
Yeah, so I know it's been 22 years since the prior incident. However, as a board, we still have that responsibility to protect the public and do no harm. And I believe in Arizona, if there is a history of sexual misconduct, that Ms. Zavala, if you can correct me if I'm wrong, that Arizona does not allow a license. Is that correct?
That is not correct. Actually, it would be at the board's discretion today based on the evidence in front of you whether or not Mr. Morales could have a license.
Okay. Okay. Thank you. Historically speaking, the board has found it to be egregious enough that, at least in my memory of serving, we have not.
That is correct.
It's not an absolute.
Okay.
That discretion.
Okay. Thank you for that clarification. So, I think one of my concerns is, and the question I asked is the vulnerability of the victim is how, you know, when we're in that therapeutic relationship one-on-one, you know, ensuring that boundaries aren't crossed, ensuring that the clients are protected. And I think, I would have liked to hear a little bit more about the plan to ensure that clients would be protected in order to grant a license, but I would like to hear from my colleague as well.
Just given, you know, the precedent that we've set on these types of arrangements and, you know, how much we're putting on a therapist when they are in a role that are with a client, I would not feel comfortable granting a license to those licenses. Thank you, Ms. Kramer.
I'll go on record and say I support that. It's the most egregious violation that we could do with a client. I have a very difficult time supporting that we would then allow that and what that would say to the public or potential clients in the future. It's just one line that we can't cross and come back.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That's okay.
And I would just note for the record, I mean, we do have that discretion, right? But we haven't because of the egregious nature of it, especially in this case, given the facts that we have. You have somebody who is actively, like, on the job with the most vulnerable patient. So to me, that's not even a question of do we entertain, you know, going away from what we have set that standard to be. So I agree.
And I'm not 100%, you know, sure of the code of ethics for CNN, but I believe that, violation that we should think that, you know, that there was some kind of schooling that, you know,
and that's not to undermine what Mr. Morales has done since then. But as a regulatory board, we have to do what we have to do to protect the public and maintain the integrity of the profession. So, Ms. Blasius, I know there's a number of different things here because there's an applicant. Yeah. So I believe we first need to, if we're moving forward, would be opening the complaint and then finding for the violation.
Is the direction I would like to go. Motion to open a complaint and find for violations.
Bailey, second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. And then for the application.
And I would motion to deny the application.
Based on the unprofessional conduct?
Yes, I'm sorry, let me read this. Based upon
ARS 32-32-75-A-6, not have committed any act or engaged in any conduct that would constitute grounds for disciplinary against a licensee pursuant to this chapter, inappropriate sexual conduct, ARS 32-32-51-16-L, engaging in any conduct or practice or condition that impairs the ability of the licensee to safely and completely practice the licensee's profession. So I'd like to, yeah.
Is there a second?
Roll call, please.
Kimberly Bailey.
Aye.
Mary Kramer.
Aye.
Patricia Dilbats.
Aye.
Pauline Knapp.
Aye.
Megan Kramer.
Aye.
Adam Sinek.
Aye.
Diane Palacios.
Aye.
Antoine Trotter.
Aye.
Motion carries. Best of luck to you, Mr. Morales. Thank you for being here.
To agenda item 4I, our case is recommended for release from consent agreements, and I understand Ms. Meek needs to recuse from this matter. We have one, Andrew Henry, two, Jenny Brown, three, Sherry Winery, four, not even going to try that, Bergava, and five, Samuel Jean Baptiste. So is there a motion to release from the consent agreements I-1 through 5?
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. That will conclude our consent agenda. Are we good to continue moving forward? Anybody need a break? We will go to agenda number 7, which are our disciplinary matters and complaints. So this is the time and place scheduled for the board's review of disciplinary matters that will be heard by us pursuant to authority ARS 32-32-81. Again, please be aware we have got all of the materials that have been submitted for each case. During the course of the meeting, if there is the need to refer to a client or former client, even if that is the complainant, to protect privacy and confidentiality, please use initials only. The licensees and applicants on today's agenda received by mail a board meeting notice, which included a list of potential actions the board could take once we reach our deliberations. This list is not exclusive, and there may be other options the board considers. We'll first hear a brief summary of the case from board staff. Once staff is done, the interested parties, including the complainant, if applicable, and the professional will be given an opportunity to address the board. In order to give everyone the same opportunity to speak, we ask those speaking not take time to repeat information we've already received. You and your legal counsel, if applicable, will collectively be given 5 minutes to address the board or the time that it takes for board staff to present the investigative report, whichever is greater. We do have a civility policy, which prohibits the use of any type of disorderly conduct. Anybody violating that policy will be removed from the meeting room. Once the board concludes discussions with the parties, we'll move into our deliberations. Everybody is free to stay and listen, but we ask that you respect it's our time to talk and not interrupt during those deliberations. So we are going to go to 7A, Ms. Condello, and my understanding is Ms. Knapp needs to recuse from this matter, and Mr. Carey, you are here representing your client. You can introduce yourself for the record.
Good morning, Flynn Carey, counsel for Ms. Condello.
Good morning, Ms. Condello. Thank you both. I'll first hear from board staff.
Madam Chair, members of the board, following a review of the investigative record, there appears to be clear and convincing evidence to support the following violation. ARS 32-32-51-16-T, disclosing a professional confidence or privileged communication, except as may otherwise be required by law or permitted by a legally valid written release. This recommendation is based on the following. On 10-17-22, licensees sent an email to roughly 500 practitioners who were part of a networking group with an attached spreadsheet. The spreadsheet included 11 clients with their full names, dates of birth, recent service date, and diagnosis for each. Licensee represented the following throughout the board's investigation. On the day of the incident, licensee had 2 emails open at once, one being a listserv of mental health professionals who network with each other, and another being a HIPAA-compliant NGuard email system she used for her biller at Integrity Medical Billing. Licensee had just completed her weekly claims, and a client unexpectedly came to her office sobbing. So licensee quickly sent the spreadsheet and met with the client. After meeting with the client, licensee was notified by multiple colleagues that she attached the billing spreadsheet to an email to the listserv group. Licensee sent an email to the listserv group asking all to delete as it was sent in error. A number of them responded that they deleted the email. Licensee submitted a self-report to the Office of Civil Rights, Department of Health and Human Services, and subsequently noted the 11 clients via a mailed letter of the breach of their information. Licensee has since updated her practice to not have any other emails open while she's working with documents containing PHI or billing information. Licensee has taken 10 hours in CEUs regarding HIPAA and confidentiality. By inadvertently sending this email, licensee, in fact, breached the confidentiality of 11 of her clients, and that is all I have unless you have questions.
Thank you, Mr. Carver. Do board members have any questions? Mr. Carey, you have up to 5 minutes to address the board.
Chair Dobell, members of the board, I'm going to have Ms. Candelo make a brief statement, and then I have a few comments.
Thank you. Members of the board, I am deeply embarrassed about my error. I take my duty of confidentiality seriously, and by moving too quickly and switching among tasks, I accidentally made an inadvertent disclosure of PHI. I am thankful to my colleagues who alerted me to this error. I appreciate that there is a community of therapists surrounding me who were quick to come to my aid. I am disappointed when the mistake I made, but as soon as it occurred, I knew the best path forward was to face it head on and handle it directly and honestly. I contacted the affected clients in writing to notify them of the breach. I self-reported to the Office of Civil Rights. I met with each client individually to discuss how they wanted to proceed, and then I charted my efforts. I also took a number of CEU hours about HIPAA and PHI, along with modifying my office procedures to ensure additional controls are in place. I know I can't reverse what occurred, but with the changes made and in light of the board process, which has been educational in and of itself, I can promise it would not happen again.
Chair Dobetz, members of the board, this is a case where there's not really much to discuss by way of the error that occurred, but what I'm asking the board to focus on is the context and to put the scope of the error in context. First of all, as confidentiality breaches are concerned, I think this is objectively different than the cases where someone actively or intentionally misuses PHI or accesses PHI for their own benefit. I actually have been doing some data breach in some other settings, and Honor Health's data breach would classify this as a level 1 infraction, which is an unintentional or careless access, use, or transmission or disclosure. So they actually categorize this inadvertent as the lowest level of breach. Disclosure occurred to other providers who were clearly helping in the remediation effort. And I think it is a little different when all of the clinicians, aware of their own PHI protection duties, did assist in making sure this was not propagated. I hope the board will focus on the steps that licensee took immediately, even before she had retained counsel. This is someone who did the research on her obligations, met those obligations, and took, honestly, a really scary position to go to the federal government and say, I made an error. And that's not what everyone does. We provided in our materials massive corporations who have hid the ball when there have been data breaches, and the fact that it took them getting sanctioned before they actually would even acknowledge a PHI breach occurred. So based on all this, I'd ask the board to consider a non-disciplinary outcome on this case. While data breaches are not ideal, this was unintentional. And I think by also providing a non-disciplinary outcome, you are sending a message that there is a way to deal with these issues. You're not driving potential PHI breaches underground for fear of board reprisal. This is someone who I think took this very seriously without any guarantees of how this would play out, and really, I think, modeled appropriate behavior in the face of a PHI issue. So we would ask you to consider a non-disciplinary outcome in this matter. Thank you.
Thank you both. Do you board members have any questions?
I have two questions, Ms. Candelo. Today I'm hearing, you know, that the listserv was, you know, colleagues. I heard the word professionals. I heard that word. In the investigation, though, there was a statement that said mostly comprised of behavioral health professionals in Southern Arizona. Who else is on that listserv?
To my knowledge, only professionals, psychiatrists, nurse practitioners, physician assistants, and therapists.
Okay.
closed listserv.
Okay.
You tend to be a part of.
Okay.
Not public.
So you would maybe not necessarily say that. Again, it was mostly comprised of healthcare professionals, but in light of today, you would say it's comprised of all healthcare professionals.
Yeah, I don't remember saying that.
That's okay. That just stood out to me. Okay. And then the other question I have was, I know that, and I appreciate that you took a number of continuing education already. Would you say that any of the courses that you took included using third-party billers or just billing practices in general?
Yeah, it was included in one of the courses. It was a 3-hour course, and it had a component of that.
Okay. Anything that anything specific that stands out from that course regarding using third-party payers or billers?
Not really. I mean, this is a spreadsheet that gets emailed in a secured email to a biller that manages all my billing for those particular insurance companies. So it was really a clerical error on my part.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't really learn anything that I did not already know. I'm highly aware.
Okay.
Of how to do it. It was a mistake.
Okay. Thank you.
Do any other board members have questions? All right, this will be our time to talk amongst ourselves. We ask that you not interrupt.
I mean, in reading through, and I'm open to if I've missed anything, but I do feel like it did occur, but I do feel it was an accident, an accident that probably could have been worse if that had gone out to the public, in a different audience, if you will. Luckily, it went to professionals. We are, privacies and confidentiality at our own ethics. And so if any accident was going to happen, that was probably a good audience for it to happen to. I appreciate the remedial steps, absolutely, and it is nerve-wracking to make those kinds of reports. So I appreciate all that, and I'm in support of something non-disciplinary. I might have even entertained a letter of concern with her, practice policies and, being maybe too quick with things that are sensitive. But I would absolutely entertain the non-disciplinary. Is there any feedback? Did I miss anything in the investigation that might have alluded to something more serious?
I appreciate your question about, is it all professional members? Mm-hmm. Right? It's like mostly, then I'm moving away. Mm-hmm. What is the other part of?
Mm-hmm.
No, not mostly.
Right.
So,
when I read it, I thought we were concerned. I mean, that was, I think we are human, and I think you'll be very careful with email moving forward. And it's a good reminder to all of us. I didn't think that it was too discipline, in my opinion, either.
Yeah, I'm in agreement with letter of concern as well. I mean, she's done everything that she's needed to do to correct it, came forward, and took the appropriate steps. And like Chairperson Noblet said, it's just such a human error.
Okay. I do agree. Probably this process was nerve-wracking enough too. So, and I take this process very seriously too. So I can appreciate that was probably quite a process on your side. Okay. Well, then I would move that we dismiss with a letter of concern, and not only that, just the breach of confidentiality, but just also really managing business practice policies to make sure that we're treating sensitive information with our utmost attention. Okay.
1 second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carried. We are coming back to order. It's 10:07.
I feel like you're my mom, like I heard it.
I take that as a compliment, Mr. Charter. We are going to agenda item 7B, and my understanding is Ms. Kuma is going to be recusing from this matter. And 7B is Dorothy Granberry. Is the complainant for this matter present? Did you wish to address the board?
Yeah.
Okay, and is the professional present?
Yes, Jenny.
Okay, so I'll have the complainant come forward first, please.
Okay.
And if you would introduce yourself for the record.
Hi, my name is Sophia Hasid, and I'm a licensed clinical social worker.
Thank you. We're first going to hear a brief summary from board staff, and then it'll be your opportunity to address the board.
Madam Chair, members of the board, following the review of the investigative record, there appears to be clear and convincing evidence to support the following violation. ARS 32-325116S, terminating behavioral health services to a client without making an appropriate referral for continuation of care for the client if continuing services are indicated. This recommendation is based on the following. From 5/22 to 11/22, licensee worked at agency as a contracted therapist providing behavioral health services to clients. On 11/21/22, complainant emailed licensee that her employment contract with agency will end 12/10/22. In this email, complainant instructed licensee to continue meeting with supervisor until all of her clients were terminated. On 11/22/22, licensee emailed complainant that she was ending her employment contract effective immediately. Rather than attempting to coordinate any continuity of care or terminating services appropriately with their clients, licensee abruptly left agency with over 60 clients on her caseload. Licensee represented the following during an investigative interview. Licensee offered to stay if she could have a different supervisor supervise her instead of supervisor. Licensee did not make any referrals or transfer any of her clients prior to her immediate departure. Licensee felt she was in compliance with her code of ethics regarding client abandonment since she attempted to find a new therapist to supervise her for her last few weeks at agency. Licensee can understand how she abandoned clients but felt complainant did not give her the opportunity to appropriately transition her clients. Licensee agrees it was inappropriate to not ensure continuity of care for clients, and if faced with a situation like this in the future, she would ensure continuity of care. Additionally, following a review of the investigative record, there appears to be clear and convincing evidence to support the following violation. ARS 32-325116K, engaging in any conduct or practice that is contrary to recognized standards of ethics in the behavioral health profession as it relates to the following section of the ACA Code of Ethics. A6E, non-professional interactions or relationships. This recommendation is based on the following. From 5/22 to 11/22, licensee worked at agency as a contracted therapist. On 11/22, licensee resigned effective immediately. Following licensee's departure from agency, licensee and client coordinated a one-time meeting so licensee could meet her newborn child. Licensee represented the following during an investigative interview. Client contacted licensee through her Facebook. Licensee wanted to give client closure since client had been through a lot and client wanted to thank licensee. The meeting lasted roughly 15 minutes in a public setting. Licensee held the newborn and client took a picture of licensee holding the infant. Licensee did not see an issue with meeting with client since she was not licensee's active client. Licensee does not consider client a friend. It is highly concerning that licensee believes since client was a former client, it was appropriate to meet with her to provide closure despite the ACA Code of Ethics explicitly prohibiting any sort of non-professional relationships with former clients. And that is all I have. Unless you have any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Carver. Do board members have any questions? All right. As the complainant, you now have up to 5 minutes to address the board.
Okay. I didn't know about that. The last part of your statement. Okay. My name is Sophia, and I'm a licensed clinical social worker. My passion in life has always been to help people. I began adding therapists in my practice to help people find care more immediately. My motto is to always do right by the client, and I'm a social worker before a business owner. I understand that at some point, practices and therapists may need to part ways, but the client should not be part of this issue. My ultimate goal is to help people find the care that they need, regardless of whether they become a client in our practice or someone else. To leave your client without saying bye, especially when clients are vulnerable, breaks my heart. Every time I need to transfer clients, I cry, because I know the sadness of the clients, and I know the difference it would make for therapists to formally say goodbye to their clients. That's all I have to say.
Let me see if board members have any questions for you. Do board members have any questions for the complainant? All right. You take your seat.
Thank you.
Ms. Granberry, if you would come forward, please. And Ms. Granberry is the professional. You have up to 5 minutes to address the board now as well.
My name? Is the microphone off now?
Could you press the...
I have beat myself up, Marcus. I reached out for help. I felt like I was in a hostile working environment. And I reached out for help. Sophia, I was out asked for help several times with their supervision. I even came to the board and asked, you know, what I should do. I talked to Ms. Brumberg, and she even offered to come in on the supervision virtually to try to help. I didn't know what else to do. I wouldn't do. I beat myself up, and they said, whatever you do right now. I've been in this field for a long time, and I have worked to keep my life. So I have to go back to take classes to get my license back this time. I had no intention of walking out on the clients. I didn't. When I asked, I was having medical problems, and I asked for help, and I asked Sophia to please supervise me, even for the last 3 weeks. I was in the papers about I wouldn't even do it without pay. I wasn't given the opportunity to transition new clients. And when the client that reached out, I was so, it was so guilty because I didn't do what I needed to do for my client. I didn't know any other way to do it because that was her company. When she told me, don't reach out and don't do this, I followed what she told me to do. And then that client reached out to me twice because she worked out how even went to set up after getting off back. And I knew it was, I was abandoning her again because I didn't know what was going on with her. And I didn't even, and I told the boy that they didn't, I told them that in the interview, that was something that I disclosed that I did because I wanted to be as transparent as I could. I didn't know any other way to do this. It's not that I wanted to abandon my life. I didn't. But I didn't know any other way to reach out for help. So being supervised, a couple of people in the agency, she knew that I was struggling with Aaron. I even talked to her a couple of times. She even agreed to meet with Aaron. I had a grant. Aaron refused to meet with me and Sophia. I almost gave my 2-week notice, but Sophia has been, she's a good boss. And then when I emailed Sophia this week and asked her about my 1099, she asked me how I was doing, and I cried all day. Because my own job, I feel like I let my clients down, but I feel like I let her down too. So if I could do this all over again, I wouldn't do it that way. And as with the other client, I knew what I was doing. I did it. But I felt like I had abandoned her once, and I was afraid something was going on with her. So it wasn't even a particular reason that she had me out with a baby that minute, and she took a picture. I'm sorry, and I apologize about it. I knew that was wrong. I did. So I've learned my lesson. I have. But like I said, if I had a chance to redo this, I know the bike is not a redo. At my age, I think I forget that much. But I would never handle it like this again. I felt back then, I didn't know what else to do. I was hoping that somebody would reach back out to me and say, okay, I will go ahead and supervise you for these 3 weeks so that we can continue to make sure the clients were transition. But that wasn't offered to me. And even everything I offered was turned down. I didn't know what else to do. Thank you.
No, that's okay. Take a minute. Well, I know there was a comment about board staff's response during.
Yes, Madam Chair, I wanted to address that. So, Ms. Grenberg mentioned that she talked to our Assistant Director, Ella Balua, and I just want to be clear, it's not the role of board staff to alleviate any, you know, concerns between a supervisor and a supervisee, and I know that Ms. Balua's question in regards to this, and represents that this did not occur. With that being said, there was some email correspondence that occurred on attachment 4 of the board report. But by all means, is it not board staff's role to get in the middle of a supervisee and a supervisor relationship? You know, we do sometimes tend to lend an ear or offer support, but not the ability to be able to sit in a supervisor session.
Thank you for that clarification.
Can I say just one more thing? She did. She was just trying to help me.
Okay.
Ms. Bell, it was. She wasn't trying to get involved in. I'm sorry, that's not what I
just wanted to clarify for
that. That's not what I intended. She knew that I was struggling, and she was just listening. Thank you.
Oh, hold on one second. Sorry. That's okay, guys. I'm sorry. That's okay. Let me see. So, members, do you have any questions for Ms. Meek?
Thanks for your honesty, Ms. Cranberry, and for being transparent with what happened.
Just one.
I just have a question. You said that if you could do this again, you would do it differently. How would you do it?
I just went through the supervision. I would just I just wouldn't have let my clients. You know, I would have just, I probably would have just paid to have somebody supervise me and went on and did it. Unless if Aaron was the only option that I had, I would have stuck by it. I would have, you know, it was hard for me. From the beginning, I asked for help. And so it didn't give me the help I asked, but I didn't know what else to do. I have a job now, and my supervisor didn't know about the situation. She and I talked about it, and the only thing she told me, she said, I'm really sorry that you had to go through that, because it was hard. And I'm sorry. Like I said, my license means a lot to me. I go back and take classes, pay almost over $2,000 to take the class to get my license.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions from board members? If you're more comfortable in your seat, you can go back to your seat. It'll be our time to talk amongst ourselves. Ms. Meek, I believe, yes, you are leading this conversation. Okay.
So I read all the information provided and listened carefully this morning. And based on the information, you know, that we have available, there is clear and convincing evidence to support the violation of failing to ensure continuity of care, ARS 32-5116S, and inappropriate contact with former client, ARS 32-3251-16K. That is contrary to standards, ACA Code of Ethics 8.6.E, non-professional interactions. Any
discussion or thoughts otherwise? Did you want to make a motion?
Yeah, I would like to move to find the violations, those two that I mentioned, ARS 32-3251-16S and ARS 32-3251-16K.
For a second?
3 seconds.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. So moving forward?
Yeah, I don't know what happened.
So she made a motion to find the violations, and so we found the violations, and now our next step is to discuss what we're going to do next with it.
Okay, so I am proposing a disciplinary consent agreement with 2 years of supervision. First year, 2 times a month. And then the second year of supervision at the discretion of the supervisor, but no less than once a month. In addition, I'm proposing 3 CUs for behavioral health ethical practices, 3 for professional conduct, 3 CUs on burnout for behavioral health professionals, and the supervision to focus at least on ethics, burnout prevention, appropriate termination of clients, professional practice, and understanding board rules. So I put emphasis on understanding the board rules, not just going through them, but so there'll be any other.
I would like to see, I'd like to see something in just like conflict resolution. I wonder if she, and that might, if we can add it to something that I don't necessarily, I'm not trying to add more on, but I think, having some tools on how to deal with, you know, tough situations, tough people in general, not even maybe just an authority or a supervisory role, but just what happens if we have a, if we have a difficult situation with a client, having tools on how to do that, might be really helpful. Just in case she runs into the situation again, and maybe we didn't have those tools before, and so that's why we responded in this way.
Absolutely. I wonder doing that, Ms. Meek, if you're open to it, doing that instead of the professional conduct, just so that we don't have excessive, but the professional conduct we rolled into ethics and supervision, maybe?
Yeah. I did.
Do you want to read that back or have Mr. Carlo read it back?
I am. We'd be offering the licensee a consent agreement for 24 months.
She would be required to get clinical supervision twice monthly for the first year, after the first year at the recommendation of the clinical supervisor, but no less than once monthly. She would also be required, the focus of the supervision would be on behavioral health ethics, burnout, termination of clients, understanding rules and statute, conflict resolution, as well as professional conduct. In addition to that, she'd be required to take CEUs, 3 CEUs in burnout for professional therapists, and 3 CEUs for behavioral health ethics, as well as 3 CEUs in conflict resolution. And if not signed, invited to a formal interview, and if not signed, remanded to a formal hearing. And that's, is that your motion?
Yes. The motion.
For a second.
Bailey, second.
Roll call, please.
Kimberly Bailey.
Aye.
Patricia Dobrox.
Aye.
Pauline Rapp.
Aye.
Megan Kramer.
Aye.
Adeline Sameek.
Aye.
Diane Palacios.
Aye.
Antoine Trotter.
Aye.
Okay. Ms. Kimberly, you'll
please.
Oh, I'm sorry. I have a comment or a question. Would the staff contact her to explain what all this means?
That's what I was just going to say, yes.
Okay. Because you're concerned about losing your license, and that's not what this is.
So, Ms. Gray, yes, they'll put everything in writing and send it to you. If you have any questions before you hear from them, you can reach out to your investigator next week. Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Ms. Mayor. And thank you, Ms. Todd, for being here as well. Seven C, Arnie Khan. Is the complainant for that matter here? All right, and the licensee is going to be joining us via phone. Is that correct? Correct. And for the record, Ms. Conrad has rejoined. Mr. Khan?
Yes, it is.
This is Patricia Dobrox, the Arizona Board of Behavioral Health Examiner's chairperson.
Oh, okay.
All right. So we are getting ready to hear your case, and just for your information, this is a public meeting, so I'm here with the other board members as well as board staff and then members from the public. And the way that we'll proceed is board staff will have a chance to present information to the board, and then you will have equal time to address the board. We have read all of the materials, so know that we have those and have read those, but if there's anything that you want to add, that would be your chance to do so. And I would ask while board staff is presenting, if you would mute your device.
Okay, just a second. I'm going to put you on speaker.
Okay, thank you so much. And somebody from board staff.
Madam Chair, members of the board, following the review of the investigative record, there appears to be clear and convincing evidence to support the following violation. ARS 32-3251-16K, engaging in any conduct or practice that is contrary to recognized standards of ethics in the behavioral health profession as it relates to the following section of the MOVAC Code of Ethics. The counseling relationship. Addiction professionals shall accept their responsibility to ensure the safety and welfare of their client and shall act for the good of each client while exercising respect, sensitivity, and compassion. This recommendation is based on the following. From 8/31/22 to 9/13/22, licensee was employed with agency as a therapist. On 9/12/22, during an IOP group session, licensee told client two to eat, shit, and die twice with their group clients present. Agency conducted several interviews with other clients who were present who corroborated what licensee said to client two. During agency's interview with client two, they reported another staff member asked licensee if he would stop speaking to clients this way, and licensee responded that he did not know and will see. Agency also interviewed licensee, and licensee admitted to saying this to client two because he was trying to get client two's attention. During the board's investigation, licensee represented he told client two to eat shit and die twice for the following reasons. Client two had his hand raised, but it was not his turn to speak, and licensee asked him to wait his turn. After multiple interruptions from client two, licensee told him to eat shit and die, but client two continued to interrupt, so licensee said this statement again. Licensee knew saying this would get client two's attention, and licensee did not want to lose control of the group. Licensee told the staff member he did not know and would see when asked if he would speak to clients like this again, because he did not know clients would have more outbursts at client two. Despite licensee apologizing the client too after making these statements, it is highly concerning that licensee believed it was appropriate to speak to any client in this manner, as it would get their attention during a group session with numerous clients present. Furthermore, licensee told another staff member he was not sure if he would speak to other clients like this in the future. As I have, unless you have any questions.
Do board members have any questions for Mr. Carver? Okay. Mr. Kahn, this would be your chance to address the board. You have up to 5 minutes to do so.
Okay, I just have one question about the information from AMI Behavioral Health that they sent.
We have an investigative report that compiled all of the materials. I'm not sure specifically what you're referring to.
Records of where I presently get my license, and it was also she had included in the letter that she had included 5 statements from clients as to the quality of my counseling, and I didn't see when I did the investigation or whether that was concealed.
One second, I'm going to let board staff address that question.
Sure, thank you.
Just give 1 second, Mr. Connolly, board staff, just making sure nothing was missed.
Okay.
It doesn't appear that we have that information with the subpoena documents.
It doesn't appear that that was provided to the board during the investigation or afterwards.
Okay, that's not a major concern. Unfortunately, I'll begin now. Just as an introduction, I've over the course of 25 years being licensed in the state of Arizona, first having a CSAC and then being grandfathered into my LIFSAC, I've helped thousands of people, and I have facilitated hundreds of groups that are working approximately 8 years on our prison population as well. Specifically to this incident, it was an isolated incident, but it will never happen again if I'm permitted to keep my license. What I said was wrong. There's no justification for it whatsoever. It was a level of lapse in focus, and I did apologize. I didn't care if Steph was present or not. After the break, I called that person up to the front of the room because I'm in my programs now myself for recovery. I'm on November 3rd, I'm in 30 years of recovery, and it was very important for me to do what is a 10-step, 1-step of making the loans to him. I called him up to the front, I told him what I said was wrong, I asked him why he's in a client for a counselor, but as an individual to an individual, please forgive me. I did forgive me, we shook hands, we actually hugged, and I was hoping that was the end afterwards. After the group was over, I did go up to him and ask him, are you okay? I realized this impacted not just him, but I realized it impacted the group as well and made it not a safe environment. I'm not going to go through the reasons of why I said it doesn't matter. It was an all attempt to control. I will not say anything like that again, and I did not mean any harm to the individual. I've never used words like that before. I don't know why I did, I cannot explain that, but it did come out. I do admit to saying it twice, and it was wrong. Since that incident occurred in September, I immediately saw counseling, and I will continue counseling. Now, basically, my conclusion is I've been blessed with the gift of working with very difficult populations. And if you do not take my license, I have a chance to help it. At least I'm helping hundreds, if not thousands more, hard-to-reach individuals. I go by the nickname Firewalker. If you walk with me, we walk through fire, but you never have to do the same walk again because I go to the core of your pain. I don't look at the substances and all the other things that they're using. To me, that's the medication for their pain. I cut to the bone, I go to the pain of origin. Right now, I'm retired. I only work with co-leaded individuals in a small group setting of 3 to 7 people, and I'd like the opportunity to continue to share my extensive experience with others in the Tucson area. That's my conclusion. Thank you very much for hearing me.
Thank you, Mr. Khan, and thank you for your accountability. Let me see if board members have any questions for you.
Of course.
So, any questions for the licensee? All right. It doesn't seem as if there's any questions, so this will be our time to deliberate and talk amongst ourselves. You're free to stay on the line and listen, but we ask that you not interrupt.
Of course.
Again, thank you for being present via phone and for your admission of what has happened. I just wanted to say and put on the record that people come to counseling because they're struggling and that everybody deserves the utmost respect and dignity. And that there are a lot more ways to control a group. So, or control, even using that word, but to navigating the group dynamic. So I would like to make a motion based upon unprofessional communication to open a complaint, but I'm open to hear board members.
Can you find the violations?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm sorry, yes.
No, that's okay.
Violations. Mm-hmm.
Any other thoughts before Ms. Castro makes a motion?
So my motion is to find the violation for unprofessional communication AS 32-3251-16K, engaging in any conduct or practice that is contrary to recognized standards of ethics in the behavioral health profession or that constitutes a danger to health, welfare, or safety of a client as it relates to the following section. NAADCA Code of Ethics, Principle 1, the Counseling Relationship, Client Welfare. Addiction professionals shall accept their responsibility to ensure the safety and welfare of their clients and shall act for the good of each client while exercising respect, sensitivity, and compassion. Providers shall treat each client with dignity, honor, and respect and act in the best interest of each client.
Is there a second?
Bailey, second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries.
Madam Chair, at this time I would like whoever has uploaded a prior board action. That prior board action has been uploaded to the member portal, and the reason that we upload it now is to make sure that the violation that's found is based on the conduct that you seen in the report before you today. This prior board action is in regards to a 10-7-14 where licensing entered into a consent agreement in regards to aggravated assault and domestic violence. Police reports from our arrest indicated the following: licensee's stepdaughter reported that licensee grabbed her by the throat and threw her to the couch. Licensee acknowledged that he put his hands on stepdaughter's throat and pushed her away. He grabbed stepdaughter by the hair and dragged her to her room. The following injuries were observed on stepdaughter: redness and swelling on both arms, bruising on her right arm. All injuries were consistent with stepdaughter's account of the incident. Stepdaughter was only 15 years old at the time. Aside from his 9/12 arrest, a review of licensee's criminal history reflects that he exhibited similar conduct as he was arrested in 2002 for disorderly conduct and 2005 for domestic violence. Based on this, at the time, the board offered consent agreement to the licensee with a violation of an L, any conduct, practice, or condition that impairs the ability of licensee to safely and competently practice the licensee's profession. At that time, the board ordered probation for 24 months and commanded that the licensee go through therapy with somebody that had expertise in anger management. In addition to that, he completed a 36-hour domestic violence program that was pre-approved by the board. And it appears that the licensee was released from that consent agreement in 12 of 2015.
Thank you, Ms. Vara. So in light of the violation, now our knowledge of the
board action. Ms. Palacios' thoughts on how to proceed.
So definitely supervision. Year, twice a month, second year, once a month on the discretion of the super. Could we just have a tiny bit of a discussion? This is 2012, this has happened. 11 years later, we still have another problem. I'm really concerned it's going to happen. I mean, what's to say it's not going to happen again? We have domestic violence, class, anger management going on, and then we have another... We have another incident in the, not even personal, but in a professional space where usually we're even on our best, you know, our best abilities, right? We change hats, right, when we walk into that room. And this comes out yet now in a professional setting. I don't know.
And just to add, before 2012 is that it was noted in 2002 and 2005 as well. So it's been highly behavior since 2002. I just want to pay you back on you, Dr. Blair.
So I just need to have a discussion before we even considered stuff because I wrote down things as we were talking and these feel like nothing for me. Like I just put a big X through them because I do not think even this is enough.
Mm-hmm.
Our option, I think on the one side would be to offer the same thing that was offered in the consent agreement before that based on the behavior, anger outburst or loss of judgment in a professional setting is the same action.
I'm not sure we have a pattern of conduct and nothing has fixed it. And I'm not sure this person can safely practice no matter what something like that would say. So I'm there. Thank you, Ms. Kim. Ms. Meek as well.
Higher level now, right?
Right.
When we have gone through what we, I don't know how many times, but we have people who think that
has there really been rehabilitation? No, not if it's happened again.
Right.
It's right.
Right.
So based on that, on our discussion, then I would, are we talking revocation? Is that the correct wording that
we're requesting a voluntary surrender?
Okay, so I would motion to request a voluntary surrender.
Ms. Lowe, do you want to shape that language?
We would be offering a consent agreement of the licensee for the voluntary surrender of his license, and if not signed, remand to a formal hearing.
A motion?
Yes.
Is there a second?
Bailey, second.
Roll call, please.
Kimberly Bailey.
Aye.
Mary Kuna.
Aye.
Patricia Dobrat.
Aye.
Polly Knapp.
Aye.
Megan Kramer.
Aye.
Adelosa Meek.
Aye.
Diane Palacios.
Aye.
Antoine Trotter.
Aye.
Motion carries. Mr. Khan, thank you for being available via phone. The board has voted. This will conclude this matter. The board will put this in writing and send to you along with the options for next steps.
Okay. Thank you for calling me today.
Thank you. Take care.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
That will bring us to 7D, Aubrey Laird. Is Ms. Laird present?
Could we hear from Board staff, please? And Madam Chair, if I could just share with you, this matter is before you today only for the consideration of opening up a complaint. By law, we are not mandated to notify the licensee of this, but by a courtesy, Board staff always does. We notified her three weeks ago, and we just heard back today, wanted to participate by phone, and we reached out asking for a phone number and not received a response back. So I just wanted to share that for the record.
On 2/15/23, the board received information from Access alleging licensee may have engaged in unprofessional conduct. Recently, the Access Quality Management team terminated its participation with two behavioral health residential facilities that licensee was overseeing as the BHP. These facilities were terminated for health and safety concerns. New Destiny Health LLC was terminated because there was no evidence of medical records or treatment occurring despite advertisements that a full care plan was developed with identified needs and progress was reviewed during one-on-one sessions. Achieve Residential Living LLC was terminated because licensee did not provide evidence that she was under supervision pursuant to AAC R9-10-101 Section 35A II, and because patients of the facilities had access to dangerous weapons on 12/31/22. In addition, licensee owns Achieve Residential Living, and that is all I have to share the questions.
Any questions from board members? And again, this is before us, just in terms of opening a complaint.
I think it's pretty clear we need to take a look at what's going on there. It seems to be lots going on with multiple different entities. So I would move that we open a complaint.
Wait a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. 7E, Barbara Williams. Ms. Williams present. We can hear from board staff, please.
Yes, Madam Chair, members of the board. Again, this matter is before you today just for the consideration of opening up a complaint and possibly offering the licensee an interim consent agreement. At the end of February, board staff received an email from a licensee who is a supervisor for a supervised private practice. That email included from this licensee, she sent to an LCSW, due to an emergency, licensee was taking a leave of absence, licensee had a small caseload of 5 teletherapy clients that would need support while she was away. If you are interested in taking in on one or more, please contact me as soon as possible. Licensee has MSW and LMSW listed in her email signature line. Based on that, the supervisor was concerned that this individual was practicing unlawfully and without an independent level license. So she responded back to the licensee and asked if she was in private practice and received no response. At that time, she forwarded to board staff. Once board staff reviewed it, I myself reached out to Ms. Williams multiple times through both of her emails of contact on the board's database as well as phone messages and asked her to call me in regards to this concern. Never received a response back initially. After review of the psychology today, it did confirm that it appeared that she was in private practice. Later, I did receive a phone message from Ms. Williams stating that she was actually in recovery for the next 30 days and was unable to contact me or have a conversation with me. So at this time, I'm asking the boards to consider opening up a complaint so the board staff can investigate whether or not she's operating a practice that's unlawful for her to practice as an associate level, as well as consider offering an interim consent agreement while she works on her recovery efforts. And that's all I have, unless you have any questions for me.
Thank you, Ms. Lauer. Do board members have any questions?
I do, Ms. Avala. The interim consent agreement then would prohibit her from practicing until she's safely and then coming back to the board, right?
That is correct. Any other questions from board staff? Or for board staff, from board members? All right. There's definitely enough there to open the complaint. Do we need two motions, Ms. Avala?
Yes, two votes, please.
I can do that if you have an illness on here. I move that we go ahead and open a complaint.
Is there a second?
Last a second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
And then in light of we do not necessarily want this person able to practice at the moment, I would recommend that we offer an interim consent agreement.
And if not signed, we may enter a formal hearing.
Yes. Thank you.
For a second.
Knapp, second.
Roll call, please.
Kimberly Bailey.
Aye.
Mary Coonrod.
Aye.
Patricia Dobatz. Polly Knapp.
Aye.
Megan Kramer.
Aye.
Adelisa Meek.
Aye.
Diane Palacios.
Aye.
Antoine Trotter.
Aye.
Motion carries. That will conclude agenda item number 7, disciplinary matters. Let's move on to agenda item number 9, our applications for licensure. Ms. Vaughn, do you want to speak to application or licenses issued since our last meeting, which wasn't too long ago?
Yes, since our last meeting, February 17th, we've issued 179 licenses.
Thank you, board staff. Looking at, let's first go to 9-1. Ms. Martinez, the LAC applicant. Is there a motion to rescind our January 13th motion to deny Ms. Martinez's application?
I have that question.
Of course you can.
I see the motion to rescind.
Do you want additional information?
Yes. I'm just understanding. Is it a procedural error on our part, or what happened?
I mean, you would call it a procedural error, but what happens sometimes is we bring something to the board for it to be denied. After we brought this person to the board to be denied, we were notified that they had taken and passed the examination. And we were sure that they had been passed the time frame.
Gotcha.
We don't see it very often, but on occasion we get them.
Yeah, thank you for confirming.
Absolutely.
Good question. Is there a motion to rescind the January 13th motion to deny?
So I'll move, Trotter.
Knapp, second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. And for our applications for denial, starting with counseling.
Applications. One was denied based on failure to pass their exam, four denied due to failure to take the required examination, and four additional ones denied based on not meeting requirements, minimum requirements, for a total of 9.
Second.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carried. And social work?
The Social Work Academic Review Committee has reviewed the applications of the following individuals and recommends their denial for licensure. 5 applications based on a failure to pass the required exam, 2 applications based on a failure to take the required exam, and 1 application based on failure to meet the minimum requirements, with a total denial of 8.
Is there a second? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. And substance abuse?
The Substance Abuse Academic Review Committee has reviewed 2 applications and denied, 1 based on failure to take the required examination and 1 based on findings of unprofessional conduct, all of 2 denials.
Is there a second?
Yeah, second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Go to item number 10, which is my report. Just a reminder, 10B, we are in the process of our executive director, Ms. Savala's annual review, and you guys have been asked to please send feedback by March 31st, not to call anybody out, but we only have feedback from one person who is not at this table right now, so... So if you please send your feedback on strengths, areas of growth, etc., so that I can compile that information for us. And we'll go to 11, the report from Treasurer. Does not appear we have the February financial, correct?
Right.
So we will need to table that. And now I will hand it over to Ms. Savala for agenda item number 12.
Madam Chair, members of the board, at this time I just want to bring my attention to 12A, discussion regarding the role of board chair and secretary. Treasurer, we discussed this last month a little bit, that every year the board is mandated by law to select a chairperson as well as a secretary slash treasurer for this board. With that being said, Mr. Botts and Ms. Bailey, both of their terms have ended, even though that they've agreed to be carryovers. It's unlikely for them to accept a position from the board to move forward in a leadership type position, even if they are still sitting on the board. With that being said, we're looking at
people that are interested in being a chair or secretary of treasurer. We went ahead, Mr. Brock put together the board chair duties, just so that members could take a look at that and get a general idea of what that looks like. Mr. Brock makes it look super easy. You know, with that being said, board staff is always here to make the road a little bit easier for you. So just to be keeping that in mind, I realize it's a few months down the road, but it's kind of a big deal to our board, knowing that our two current leaders are really not in a position to fill those positions. So hoping that you all are thinking about it.
It's important that you are thinking about it and talking about it. Most of you have heard, you know, this happens quickly, and we've seen it happen with other board members that are carryovers. And so at any point, the governor's office could appoint somebody for one of our positions, and we don't have a chance to come and wrap things up. So it's important that we're thinking about it, because even though in June, we would normally do, you know, the nomination and election, it could move quicker than that. So thinking about that, is there any questions or thoughts to be thinking about? Patty's got one foot out the door everywhere.
Right here. Calling somebody out. No, I struggle with what happened last time years ago. So when I get the call, and it's not asked to say you're not welcome back next week or next month. No, and I don't know if you want to speak at all from your point of view, Dr. Baylor, but I mean, it is at times absolutely nerve-wracking, but it's a great opportunity to help facilitate, and it's much needed, and you get to work with board staff and obviously all of your board colleagues closely, and so I really do encourage you guys to be thinking about it.
So you're saying that
So what'll happen is somebody could be appointed to to the MFT professional position, either of the MFT professional position. At that point, one of us wouldn't be able to come back, so then it would vacate one of our spots, or, you know, if it's both of us. And so then at that point, somebody would need to be nominated, accept the nomination, and be voted in.
Before June, potentially.
Did I describe that process correct?
Yeah, you did. And I think just to clarify, I think that what Ms. Meek also was asking is to become, you know, the board chair or secretary treasurer, I mean, ideally somebody would volunteer for it. You know, with that being said, if somebody chose not to volunteer, then somebody may motion that they get that position. Obviously, you'd always have the ability to say yes or no. So that vote will definitely be coming up in June, if not before, if one of our positions is filled. And just to clarify what Mr. Roth is saying, it's very unfortunate the way it works and looks sometimes. If I literally can get a letter tomorrow from the governor's office saying that Mr. Roth has been replaced, and then I get to go up to have a phone call and call Mr. Roth and say it was nice to see you. You don't get to say goodbye to the rest of the board members. Thank you for your service. And then you move forward. Unfortunately, that's the way it works for the last 12 years that I've been here. So it's kind of that's why we want to continue to thank you for your service, because we don't know who the last is.
Try and say our goodbyes nicely at the end of every meeting.
Yeah. So
I have a quick question.
Absolutely.
In the document that you provided, and thank you so much, that really helped. How much, you know, time and effort it takes outside of what we already do. So you put like approximately 1 hour. Are these like weekly estimates or monthly estimates?
So it would be for a month. And I mean, it's hard to quantify, just like you guys know, right? Like, this agenda much shorter than last month's agenda, right? Or, you know, and it was last month February when we had the emergency meeting come up, right? And so that was another kind of preparation. So it really just kind of depends. So that's an average for each month. Any other questions, comments?
I think one of the important things that I'd like to note on here is that even though each and every member is responsible for reading each and every report, as the board chair, it's even more so important that you're very familiar with each and every report and read it to its entirety, because as of we know today, you know, we had a last-minute absent, and Mr. Potts had to step up on that one. So, again, it's you're always supposed to read every report, but as a board chair, you need to make sure that you really understand it and thoroughly review all of the information, which I think is 100% important.
Agreed.
I will add, though, the board staff is really, really available to, just so if you have, take the time to develop the questions that you have to better understand the case, and they're so helpful. So it isn't that, you're kind of out there on your own trying to, just figure out just how to wrap your head around the information presented. I just wanted, because I know I utilize that service a lot, and they are really, really available. So that helps any. I didn't want to undermine what you do at all, and yet we're also kind of talking about
the scripts.
Like,
I don't like it.
Sure.
Able to be continued on.
Absolutely.
Yes. I appreciate that.
Anything else from that?
Next is actually considered for an action vote. So this is review, consideration, and possible action regarding board members' participation at the Council and Regulatory Board Summit. So this is actually kind of a really big deal, and I might put Ms. Kramer on the spot here, but every year our board is afforded the opportunity for three individuals to go to this particular summit, and this summit is fully funded by CCE and BCC. And what that looks like is every year in the past, I've always attended this, as well as the board chair, as well as one other individuals. It can be a board staff, it can be a board member. This year, in talking with Mr. Bratz, at this point in time, it makes sense for me to continue to go and Mr. Bratz to continue to go, assuming that she's still serving. But then we're looking at providing the opportunity for one member to be able to go as well. And I know Ms. Kramer was able to go last year even as a public member, and I think that the takeaway was pretty good. And I don't want to speak for her, but I know we came back and we made a couple of changes based on that meeting and based on her being there and her input.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I mean, it makes you appreciate what we've got, because I think our board is run as well as any in the country. But also it's nice to hear fresh ideas from folks who don't sit in these meetings with us every month. And even as a public member, I really felt like it was, important information, and nice to meet folks doing the same good work as us other places.
And Ms. Knapp, did you want to throw your hat into this? Being able to go to this conference?
There's putting people on spot all over.
Yeah, we talked about it.
I just wanted to be clear.
Perhaps. Okay, because we were making sure all these calendars, made it available if they were interested in going.
I think if there's someone at this point that is interested, that has expressed that they should have first choice, since I haven't had the opportunity to review my calendar.
Okay.
Thank you, Ms. Knapp.
But I'd be interested in knowing.
Right.
Ms. Knapp, excusing yourself at 11 after the meeting.
Thank you for that feedback, Ms. Kramer. You forgot the part where you're going to hang out with me for a few days.
I was just honest there, too.
It is a great experience, and those are breakout sessions usually, and speakers. Asher was a really, I think, powerful speaker regarding substance use disorder, and we talked about the Impaired Professionals Program, which is one of the things we brought back and talked about. So, and currently this year it's going to be held in Nashville, July 25th through the 29th. And so I know at this point the only person that's reached out to me through her hat in is Ms. Palacios. So really it's a time, if there's other people that are interested, we just need to get that out there, because there's one spot available for that particular opening.
Excuse me, would you... No. So right now you said it's you,
one member who's interested. Well, I think Ms. Palacio represents, she was interested. Ms. Meek has represented now that she's interested. And Ms. Knapp has represented that she's interested.
And then if I'm no longer on the board, then it would open it up for discussion at that point for either another member or staff member, right?
Correct.
So I'd also like to say I'm kind of in the same boat as Ms. Knapp. I'm interested, but it's also the chaos of kids going back to school and all of that. And so if there's somebody else that would like to go, like
I can sit this one out too. So just saying that on record. Yeah, it does happen every year.
Ms. Meek, you're interested as well?
Yeah.
Is your schedule tentative like the others, or are you sure that you could go?
So I could go, yeah. So
what that will look like, just if we were to vote that Ms. Meek were to go in this particular case, you know, I will then send her the information for her to get registered and get the airfare and the hotel, and she works directly with NDCC, CCE, and they take care of all of that for us. And then, you know, keep in mind if that's where we want to go, as it was previously mentioned, this is something that occurs every year. And we've had a multiple number of members attend this throughout the years that I've been here as well. So,
is there a motion to send Ms. Meek?
I move that we send Ms. Meek to the conference.
A second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
All those opposed? That would be mean.
Ms. Meek. Okay. Next on the agenda is a discussion regarding the minute entry denying Gary Temple's request for stay and an update on the filing of the appeal to Superior Court. So there's really just an update today. As we know, Mr. Temple has filed an appeal to Superior Court. So what that's going to look like is every time there's an update that board staff have, we're going to provide it to our board members. This particular update is that Mr. Tucker and his attorney at the time did apply for the stay of his revocation of his license. In other words, wanted to be able to continue to see clients before this went to Superior Court for the revocation of his license. The stay was denied by the judge. And I would like to note that there is, if you read the last sentence of that, it appears that the chances of this moving forward as a good situation for Mr. Tucker to win his case is limited based on the information that we provided to the courts. In addition to that, it's noted that the current attorney for Mr. Tucker has withdrawn their ability to represent Mr. Tucker. With that said, it has not been approved by Superior Court yet. And other than that, I'll provide you any updates as we get them as each month comes in regards to this. And that's all I have.
Thank you, Ms. Farah. And that concludes number 12. So we're going to 13. 13A, Linda Cohen, and this is a unique situation for us. I'm going to let Ms. Avala just kind of give us the background.
Yes, Madam Chair, members of the board. So this is within the power of the board to do this, if this is something you want to consider. So what this looks like is Ms. Cohen has been on inactive status for the last 6 years. She is now, for the last 3 years. She's now coming back after inactive status, and she's asking for a reduction of continuing education requirements. Again, this is within the power for the board to consider. With that being said, I would like to point out that her license expires at the end of this month, March 31st, 2023. And also based on the information she submitted, there are 24 CEUs that she's already completed according to her representation. When these types of things happen, board staff reaches out and we ask for a variety of information from them. And, you know, with that being said, Ms. Cohen has a lot of reasons for not being able to complete the final six. However, there's no documentation of those reasons. Board staff's recommendation would be not to approve this, but with that being said, it's up to the board's authority if they want to approve that Ms. Cohen only complete 24 CEUs and get her license reinstated at the end of this month. And that's all I have unless you have questions for me.
Do board members have it? Mr. Trotter?
Well, you have 24 CEUs completed.
She needs six more.
Thank you. I love you.
Yep.
Thank
you. Let me ask, has the tutorial been completed? Is that one of the things that have been completed so far?
I'm not aware of that. We just reached out and asked how many, if any, she had already completed, and the response was 24.
My take on it is, we have 2 years to get 30 CEUs.
with the availability of online courses. There's nothing given her an active status waiving or anything else presented during this request sways me to that this is an exception to what we normally require of our licensees. So I would be in favor of denying the request, but open to others.
Yeah, I mean, it seems even if you're inactive, you can still get your CEUs. You know at some point you're going to be reapplying.
And this is a matter of record, just to be clear, since we have members of the public here. This would not be for a regular renewal. There is no power within the board to lessen the CEUs for a regular renewal. This is somebody whose renewal cycle ended a couple of years ago. They requested to go on inactive. So they've actually been, they've had 4 years, in a sense, to complete those 30 CEUs.
Sorry, I misspoke. You're right, 4 years.
I'll just say I'm uncomfortable waiving it only because we also want to go through the proper process to be ready to come back to practice. And for me, at least the minimum requirements need to be met to be ready. So that's an uncomfortable piece for me.
I understand the situations. I mean, we approved 2 extensions, but several years. So.
That's correct.
Yeah, no, you're right. 6, right. I mean, you got 3 weeks, or 2, but you know, 2.5. Should be able to get done.
Motion to deny the request.
So move, Trotter.
Bailey second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Agenda number 15 is our call for public comment. It's a short meeting, so we actually have public still present. Usually it's like 3 o'clock. It's beautiful. So public comment is a chance if anybody out there wishes to address the board. You could come forward and you would have up to 5 minutes to do so on the record. The nature of public comment, there's rules surrounding that which prohibit us from answering questions or engaging in dialogue. But if there's anything that you would want to put on the record or say to board members and board staff that are here, this would be our opportunity to do so. Anybody who wants to take us up on that? No takers? Bad. I forgot to ask board members any future agenda items. Number 14, is there anything that you want Ms. Savala to put on our next agenda? Mr. Chatter.
Sorry. I would like to have a discussion because we've kind of talked about certain, I guess, tutorials as related to professionals, as into like how we, I think we did one for, at least we talked about doing one that I think it has been done for like the whole, supervised private practice, like certain things, but I feel like, some of the cases that I've been hearing that, at least from a public point of view, I don't think that people that are newer to counseling they don't necessarily know the expectations. I'm wondering if this, because our role is to protect the public, but I feel like part of that should be kind of educating public members. I think we had a case today, he was talking about this was his first time coming to counseling, and he was totally, but he didn't know the expectation, and he knew what he received wasn't correct, but what to look for. So I think that might be something that we can kind of touch on in the future. What does the public need to know about counseling? Because obviously, they're not necessarily going out and doing their research. They're hurting, they're coming to you guys as professionals, and so I think that we should have something in there about like what does public average people know, what expectations do they expect, because I've learned a lot being on the board, and the only reason I know that as a public member is because I'm on the actual board. So I think that's something that we should discuss further meetings.
Okay. So like educating applicants and licensees.
I think the expectation for the public. Seeking a therapist.
When you're seeking help, what is typical guidelines? Because I don't think laymen are going through the code of ethics and trying to figure out exactly what they're looking for from professionals. But I think that might be a little bit helpful moving forward to the public.
Okay. If you think of anything, let Ms. Savala know. Next meeting is scheduled for Friday, April 14th.
We do anticipate a full day. Plan on it being a full day. Ms. Knapp and Dr. Bailey will not be with us. Everybody else, as far as we know, will be. So if something does come up, if you can let Ms. Savala know, please ASAP so we can plan accordingly. It's 11:11. Is there a motion to adjourn?
Trier, so moved.
Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right, everybody, have a good weekend. Thank you so much, and thank you to those that joined us today.